This is Lasair Bradley, Jr., welcoming you to another broadcast of the Baptist Bible Hour. During the time of this pandemic, churches have faced a very real and unusual challenge. And I would like to be able to send you this current edition of our publication, The Baptist Witness, all of the articles addressed to how churches are to function and honor Christ and what they mean in our lives. I wrote an article entitled, A Singing Church. There's another one on the Discipling Church and the Receiving Church. Just request that publication when you address your letter to the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. Today we continue with the message from the Gospel of John entitled, Follow Me. Says then it means to take up your cross daily. Now in olden times when people were being crucified on a regular basis, if an individual was observed going down a road carrying a cross, there was only one thought that came to mind. That is a condemned criminal. That person is going to die. So when he says, take up your cross, he's not talking about wearing a cross as a religious symbol. He's talking about taking up a cross, dying to self. Dying out to your pride, dying out to your lust, dying out to your desires that would lead you in the wrong direction. You'll hear people interpret it this way. They'll talk about a certain situation in their life that's painful, some difficult trial, and they'll say, well, I guess that's just my cross to bear. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Not talking about some situation that you can't change or adjust. He says, take up your cross. This is something that you willfully do. This is something that is an act of obedience on your part. You are responding to his command. You take up your cross on a daily basis. You can work through some issues one day, feel like you've drawn closer to the Lord. And if you don't stay at it the next day, your mind will wander and your flesh will rise up and various temptations will come your way and you're soon moving once more in the wrong direction. Taking up this cross is a daily process. It's not a fatalistic view. Somebody says, well, I'm just resigned to it. I would like to have a better life. I'd like to have an easier life. I'd like to have this or that, but I guess just my cross to bear. I'll just have to endure it. No, it's not a fatalistic outlook. It's a willing acceptance of doing whatever Jesus Christ orders. I take up my cross because I want to honor him. I want to serve him. I'm not going to let other things get in the way. And then, once again, after saying, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, he then says, follow me. Follow me. You follow him in serving him. He'd already instructed Peter, I've got a work for you to do. You're to feed my sheep and feed my lambs. So you're to follow me in doing this. Now, certainly only a few are called to the public ministry to preach the word from the pulpit. But every follower of Jesus Christ can be a witness and ought to be and give a testimony to others around them. Are you following Jesus in a matter of service? Do you serve him on a day-to-day basis? Do you pray for opportunities to speak to others about the Savior? When those opportunities avail themselves, are you intimidated? Are you fearful of being considered a religious fanatic? Do you hold back? Or do you deny yourself? Deny your pride? And speak the truth concerning Jesus Christ. Follow me. Follow me in the afflictions that you may encounter. Jesus never at any time made the kind of promise that's being made by many today who claim that if you become a follower of Jesus Christ, your life is going to be smoother, easier, you're going to be more prosperous. To the contrary, Jesus said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation. In me you will have peace, but in the world you're going to have trouble." There are going to be those troubles that all men encounter because we're living in a fallen world. But there will be those particular ones that belong to the people of God because they're living righteously and godly and will endure certain persecutions. Follow me. Follow me in those difficult days. Don't murmur and complain. Don't give up in despair. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not, says Paul in writing to the church of Galatia. Follow me. Follow me even in death. He's looking to that time that Peter will glorify God by the death that he died. That's probably a little more difficult for us to fathom than the rest of it. So I can understand I ought to be following him and glorifying him and serving him on a daily basis. And in the midst of my sufferings, trials, and afflictions, I ought to glorify him. But to think about death, particularly if I should be persecuted and die a painful death as Peter was going to die, that's hard to grasp. But it nevertheless was a truth spoken by Jesus Christ himself, that in your death, Peter, because you will not deny me at that point, and you will be willing to go even to death itself rather than to turn your back on the testimony concerning your Savior, in this you will glorify me. Now, further, we would consider that not only is this a basic command, but it is often difficult to follow. I'm sure you'd have to concede that's the case. Hopefully every one of you would say this morning, I do want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Most of you would say, I'm already making the effort. Some of you would say, I've been trying to follow him for years. And if that's the case, you certainly are ready to admit that it is often difficult. We see an example of it before us here in this passage. It is difficult because of distractions. After Jesus informs Peter about what's going to happen to him, there were going to be, according to history, about 30 years in which Peter would be active in ministry, but then he's going to die, he's going to be crucified. And so Peter turns around and sees John walking along. Here was a problem. We're to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, and when we get our eyes off him and start looking at other people, we create some problems. So Peter says, well, Lord, tell me about John. What's going to happen to him? Now, on one hand, if we didn't have all the information that's in the text, we might make the assumption that Peter's displaying a good spirit here. He's concerned about his fellow laborer. He has a deep interest in him. And we ought to have an interest in other people. We ought not to be self-focused. There's a place for us to be concerned about what's happening to others. But Jesus was able, of course, to read Peter's heart and know this was not just a sincere inquiry about his brother for his brother's welfare. Peter was curious. Peter was delving into something which was not his business. And Jesus rebukes him. Now, you would think after his failure earlier, and now he is being restored, and then Jesus speaks to him once again, follow me. Peter could have stayed on track for a little while, but it didn't take long till here he is bringing up the wrong subject once again. Well, Lord, tell me about John. I want to know what all is going to happen to him. Jesus said, basically, Peter, it's none of your business. What I do with John is my business. I'll handle John. I told you what to do. So the second time he says, follow me. Some of us are about as slow as Peter, don't you think? We have to be told more than once. The lesson is, follow me, follow Jesus. And then you start looking around and say, well, but what about this person? And you may be a little envious at times. Why does this person have a more prominent role in the kingdom of God than I do? Why is it this person seems to be blessed so abundantly? Why do they seem to be prospering materially far more than I am? I know I'm as smart as they are. I work probably harder than they do. And why is it? What's the problem here? And Jesus says, I'll handle all that. Your job is to follow me. You're not to be comparing yourself with others. You're not even to be comparing spiritual gifts. To say, I don't understand it. I'm sincere. I want to be used. I want to serve God. And this other person seems to be so much more effective. They seem always to have some story to tell about how they had a great exchange with an individual about the gospel. And they've actually seen some conversions in their experience with these. Some preacher sometime will think, well, why is it? I labor so hard and I have but a few to speak to. And here are others that have these large churches. And a preacher can get discouraged. And Jesus says, I'll handle all those other cases. You follow me. You follow me where you are. You use what spiritual gift I've given you. You use the opportunities I make available to you. Don't be always comparing yourself and your situation to other people. Must be concerned about God's plan for our life. Lord, what would you have me to do? Where do you want me to be? If my place is on the back row instead of out front, if my place is to diligently serve and nobody ever notices it, but I'm pleasing you, that's all that counts. Don't have to be trying to figure out the details of somebody else's situation. And then not only can there be that distraction by trying to compare ourselves with others, but even distracted by focusing on the faults of others. Some people spend a lot of time analyzing other people's failings. You know they do because they're ready to talk about it. If you have a very lengthy conversation, they're going to soon tell you about other people that irritate them, other people that disappoint them, other people that frustrate them. If you're spending your time analyzing where somebody else is failing, you need to be reminded, the message is, follow me. Now, I concede, there's an area where there ought to be concern and even labor. Paul writes in the Galatian letter, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, either the spirit shall go to such a one, restoring him in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. There's a place for that. But when you get to the point that you're just focusing on other people's failings, their lack of spiritual maturity, the fact that they don't say things just like you say it, you're just not sure that they're where they ought to be. You see, your focus is wrong. That can be done even in an attitude toward other churches. I tell you, in this day, when we see the falling away, when we see so many things taking place in our country that are alarming, when we see how often Christianity is ridiculed in the media, when you find another church that believes basically the fundamental gospel, that they love God's word, they believe it's authoritative, they believe that God is sovereign. They believe in the Trinity. They believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the one and only Savior, that salvation is by His grace through faith. There might be some other things where there are differences, but you can appreciate that body of believers and certainly should want to pray for them. Follow me. And then it's possible to be distracted by the love of money and possessions. Man justifies in his mind, well, I have to provide for my own, so I'm doing the right thing, going to work. Yes, man ought to work. But when you go the next step and you want to be constantly climbing the ladder of success and you work more hours than necessary and you work because you're accumulating wealth and that ultimately is your goal, and in the process you neglect your marriage and neglect your children, become sinful. Some people just love possessions. They just got to have things. I went to counsel a lady one time. I'd never seen anything like it. Walked in her house. You could barely get inside. It was piled up, boxes everywhere. She went shopping all the time. She wanted more and more material things. Furniture, doodads, trinkets, everything imaginable. Every room in the house. We had to hunt to find a place. There was barely room for us to sit down and have conversation. The whole house. Every bit of it, chock full of possessions. Now, I concede that is an extreme case. But some people border on it because all they think about, I've got to have more, got to have more. You're being distracted. Jesus says, follow me. And then sometimes it's difficult because of confusion. Somebody says, well, I'm following Jesus, but really what they're following is a set of man-made rules. Jesus said that the Pharisees drew nigh to him with their mouth, but their heart was far from him. Somebody establishes their own set of legalistic requirements, and they say, I'm following Jesus. They're not following Jesus. They're following rules that either they themselves are made or somebody else gave it to them, and they thought, this is the way I follow him. Somebody said, I'm following Jesus, but no, they're really following man-made tradition. Say, I'm following Jesus, but they're really following the rules of a denomination, not following Jesus. Some say, I'm following Jesus, but they deny what Jesus taught. Say, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus, but no, I don't believe that he was the Son of God. I think he was a great prophet. I think he was a good teacher. I think he was a good man, but he was not God. Person that says that is not following Jesus. If you follow Jesus, you believe what he said. If what he said wasn't true, then you can't even say he was a good man. He was an imposter. And then sometimes there is confusion because of a false report. The case is right before us in the text. Jesus had said, if I will, speaking of John, that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Ah, then the word went out. John's not going to die. And this went out among the brethren. This wasn't among the critics. This wasn't in the world. This was among the brethren. John's not going to die. Now, if that word then, widely circulated, was believed, and John ultimately died, which of course he would die, and Jesus hadn't come back, their faith would be shaken. Then what Jesus said didn't pan out. Well, the fact is, they had it wrong. That's not what Jesus said. But one heard it that way, and they told somebody else, and they accepted it as being truth, and so it got circulated, and on it went. Have you ever been guilty in picking up on something that you later find out just wasn't so? But it's one of these things, you know those games the kids used to play where they'd sit together, and they'd whisper something in the person next to them, and then that person would whisper, and that person would whisper, and it goes around the room. When it gets to the end, it's something totally different. Totally different. Makes me think about a man who called me up one day and said, "Well, Elder Bradley, I was very disappointed to hear one of your messages as to what you preached. I just never thought that I'd hear you preach something like that. I can't even remember now just what it was." I said, "Well, I never preached that." "Oh," he said, "but I know you did." I said, "Well, I know I didn't." He said, "I've got the recording." I said, "I guess with this modern technology, maybe there's some way that people can pick words off and rearrange them and make me say something else, but I know I didn't say what you said." I said, "I tell you, I want you to do something. I want you to go back. I've got the original here. So I want you to go back and listen to it, and you tell me how many minutes into that message that statement is. I want to go that many minutes into the original and see just what's said." He called me back in a couple of days, said, "You know, you were right. I listened to that tape again, and you didn't say what I said you said." I knew I didn't. I knew that to begin with. He said, "I guess I just heard enough people say that when I listened to it, I just thought I was hearing you say it." Now, how easy it is to pick up on something that's not so. You speculate. You say, "It appears to me, this is what I think. I believe this is what this person's up to. I suspect their motive." All of that is sinful speculation. All of that is dishonesty. And that means that you've been distracted from following Jesus. And then another problem is procrastination. Somebody says, "Yes, I intend to follow Jesus. I've got to get some things worked out, though. I've got to get some things put together, and when I can get this problem worked out and this question resolved, I'll be ready to follow him." Let's look at Luke chapter 9, verse 57. "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, 'Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest.'" Now here's somebody that says, "I'm ready to do it, Lord. Wherever you go, whatever the situation, I will follow you." And Jesus said unto him, "Foxes have hold, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father.'" I'd like to go, but I'm going to have to wait till my father dies and then be there for the funeral. I can't go right now. Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house." And Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Here are all of these excuses. "Yes, Lord, I will follow you, but I got to go here, I got to take care of this, got to take care of that." How many of you are guilty of that today? "Lord, I will follow you. There'll come a time in my life I can make that commitment. But right now," some of you young people say, I'm too young. I've got a lot of other things to take care of." Some of you fathers may say, "I've got a big responsibility. I got a family to feed." Some of you may say, "Well, I'm getting so old, there's not much I can do." Let me tell you, wherever you are in life, whatever your age, whatever your situation, you listen to the words of Jesus, just two words: follow me. Follow me. The example is set. Follow him in submission. Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." That's what my life is all about. I came here not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And that's my pleasure. That's my life. That's what I delight to do. I don't feel like it's being imposed on me. It's not a burden. It's not a problem. I delight to do the will of my Father. And then follow him in humility. He laid aside the glories that he had in heaven and humbled himself, took upon himself the form of a servant and humbled himself even to the death of the cross. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," according to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. follow him in love. John chapter 13, he says, love one another as I have loved you. Oh, what love Jesus had for these disciples. Sometimes going through that gospel, you just think, how could they say some of the things that they say? How could they draw the wrong conclusions? How could they so often be on the wrong road? How could it be? But in spite of all of their failures, it says, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Think about your life. Look back over the road you've traveled. How many discrepancies do you see? How many things, if you had it to live over, you'd do it differently? How many decisions that you've made that you just stand appalled? How could I ever have taken that turn? You see your failing, your faults, but he still loves you and says nothing can separate us from the love of God which is given us in Christ Jesus our Lord. In like manner, if you're following him, you will love others the same way. You love your wife, your husband, your children, brothers and sisters in Christ, even your enemies. Follow me. Is there one here today who has struggled? You have heard the gospel preached many times, and you've had deep internal struggles over it. You haven't known just exactly where you stand. You haven't been able to fit it in and apply it to yourself. Hear his words. Follow me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Come, says Jesus. You say, I'm not worthy. You're right. You're not worthy. You say, I don't have anything to offer. You're right. You don't have anything to offer. But he says, come. Come by faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm glad you've been with us for another broadcast today. If the message is a blessing to you, we certainly would appreciate your help in supporting the work that we can continue on this station. I hope that you'll write us at the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. Till we greet you next time, this is Lasaria Bradley, Jr., bidding you goodbye, and may God bless you.
Praising my Savior.